It's a great privilege to be here at St. Joseph's Church, this beautiful parish, to speak on the Montfort spirituality in the family. It's a wonderful topic, one of my favorite topics, and I noticed that on the program I'm marked down as the juggling priest. That's St. John Bosco is actually the patron saint of jugglers, and I have a special devotion to him. When I attended Christendom College in Front Royal, Virginia, we started the St. John Bosco Juggling Club, and we had a number of members, and it's still going today, even after about 15 years. Well, today's topic is the spirituality of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. So I'd like to really divide this talk up into three parts. The first part, I'd like to talk about the life of St. Louis de Montfort. The second part, talk about his spirituality. And then lastly, to apply it to family life today. St. Louis de Montfort really is the one who God used to usher in the great Marian age, which we're now in the Catholic Church. After St. Louis de Montfort came many of the great Marian apparitions, including the apparition of the Miraculous Medal in 1830, the definition of the Immaculate Conception in 1854, Our Lady's appearance at Lourdes in 1858, her appearance at Knock in the late 1800s, her appearance at Fatima in 1917, the establishment of the great Marian movements such as the Legion of Mary, Schoenstatt, the Knights of the Immaculata, and the Blue Army, and then the definition of the Assumption of Our Lady in 1950, and then really culminating with this great Marian Pope, Pope John Paul II. So St. Louis de Montfort has been called really the precursor of the Age of Mary, the one who ushered in this tremendous age. Now St. Louis de Montfort was born in France in the year 1673 in an area called Brittany, and he was the second oldest of 18 brothers and sisters, and 11 of them are saints. That's because 10 of them died in infancy after baptism. And so 10 of them became saints right away, and St. Louis de Montfort is the only canonized saint in that particular family. The 8 brothers and sisters that lived to adulthood, of them, 3 others became priests, and the 4 sisters became nuns. So it was a tremendous family. It was a poor family. The mother was a very devout woman, and when St. Louis de Montfort was born, January 31st, 1673, he was baptized the very next day. And he was given the baptismal name of Louis Grignon. His last name was Grignon. As a young man, he took the name Marie as his confirmation name. And later on, he would give up his own family name of Grignon, and he would take Montfort as his last name. He took the name Montfort after the town in which he was baptized. That's how much of an importance he gave to the sacrament of baptism in his life. He received his vocation when he knelt in prayer before a beautiful image of the Blessed Mother at a Carmelite church in his town. As a young man, he went off to study at a Jesuit college in Rennes at the age of 12 with 3,000 other students. Even during his time in this school, he was known for his great love of the Blessed Mother, his love of spiritual reading, his love of poverty. And then at the age of 19, he entered the major seminary in Saint-Sulpice. He walked there 200 miles on foot to attend the seminary in Paris. And on his way there, he gave away all his money that he had. He gave it to beggars as he met them along the way. He even changed clothes. His beautiful suit of clothes, he changed with a beggar. So by the time he arrived at the seminary in Paris, he looked very much like a beggar. And yet, he was accepted into the seminary and became one of the most brightest of all the students. In fact, he says that during his time in the seminary, he read every book on the Blessed Mother that he could find. The two ways in which he paid his way through the seminary was first being the librarian, and secondly, keeping vigil with the deceased in the church. When somebody passed away, they would lay them in the church the night before the funeral. And he stayed up throughout the night keeping vigil and praying for the souls of these individuals and praying many hours throughout the night and doing spiritual reading. During this time in France, there was a terrible heresy going on called the Jansenist heresy, which was a heresy that denied the love and the mercy of God, which St. Louis de Montfort, when he was ordained in the year 1700, felt God calling him to do what he could to combat this terrible heresy. When he was ordained in the year 1700, he became a chaplain to a hospital. He worked in the poorhouse, and he worked in feeding the poor and preaching missions. Because he was such an opponent to Jansenism, he was persecuted and attacked by many of the other clergy in that time period. In fact, when he was ordained a priest, it seemed that the church in France seemed to be quite strong. In fact, in France at that time, there were 100,000 priests, 130 bishops, 1,000 abbeys, 42 religious congregations, and Paris itself had 10 seminaries. So it seemed that the church was quite strong. And yet, this was after the Protestant revolt from the church, so there was the Protestant situation to deal with, as well as the Jansenist situation. And there was, even though the church seemed to be strong, there was a lot of difficulties going on in the Catholic Church at the time. And so St. Louis de Montfort did not really know what God's will for him was, so he made a pilgrimage to Rome. And he visited the Pope, Pope Clement XI, and walked 1,000 miles on foot from Paris to Rome and met with the Holy Father and asked him what the Holy Father wanted him to do. Louis de Montfort thought that he might be called to become a foreign missionary, and his desire was to go to Canada to spread the Catholic faith in Canada. But after the Holy Father met with him and saw the holiness and the great intelligence of this man, Louis de Montfort, the Holy Father said, "No, I'm sending you back to France to be a missionary and to preach the gospel and to fight Jansenism in France." And so the Pope gave him a title, Missionary Apostolic, one of the few priests in history that has been chosen by the Pope to be really a papal missionary in a foreign country. And so then during the life of de Montfort, the next remaining years of his priesthood, he was only going to be a priest for 16 years. He would die at the young age of 43. But during this short time of his priesthood, he preached over 200 parish missions and brought about many conversions. As he would travel, he would beg for the food that he would receive. His only possessions would be the Bible, a rosary, a notebook, and a little carving knife. And as he would travel, he would carve and whittle beautiful statues of the Blessed Mother. Even 300 years after his death, he was still known as the priest with a big rosary and the kind father from Montfort. He made such an impression upon the Catholic people in that area that this people of the Vendée would rise up against the French Revolution and rise up against Napoleon. And the faith was deeply implanted in the people of Western France because of the great works of St. Louis de Montfort. One of the things that St. Louis de Montfort would do whenever he went into a town, he would preach missions, and he would tell people to bring their bad books, their indecent or anti-Catholic books, and he would have a big book-burning ceremony in the town square. Because of this, he was persecuted by many people, as well as by certain of the Jansenistic bishops and priests. His whole life was one of the cross. And yet St. Louis de Montfort embraced the cross, and he loved the cross. In fact, when he would write letters to the religious sisters that he gave spiritual direction to, at the end he would always write, "P.S. May God send you many crosses." How would you like to get one of those letters? On one occasion, St. Louis de Montfort had built a huge Calvary scene in Pontchanteau in the year 1710. And this was a huge Calvary scene which took over a year to build. Thousands of people worked to build this Calvary scene. It was over 70 feet tall, and on top of Calvary was a 50-foot crucifix of our Lord. There were over 300,000 cubic feet of earth that was used to build this Calvary scene. And yet, the day before it was to be dedicated, the bishop ordered it destroyed because the bishop had been influenced by the Jansenists, who said that, well, perhaps this was going to be used by the British to help to destroy France. And so, right the day before it was to be dedicated, the bishop ordered the Calvary to be destroyed. So this was a cross that St. Louis de Montfort accepted with great humility and great resignation to the will of God. But whenever de Montfort was persecuted, he never complained. He continued to preach the gospel. When he was kicked out of one diocese, he would willingly go to another diocese and continue to preach the cross, the rosary, the Blessed Mother, and love of eternal wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. St. Louis de Montfort promoted the confraternity of the Holy Rosary, and he himself was a Third Order Dominican. On one occasion, he went off to preach the gospel to a little called the Island of Yew, which was off the coast of France. And he was about to be attacked by pirates, but de Montfort remained at the helm, singing hymns to the Blessed Mother, praying his rosary, and just before the British pirate ships were about to attack his own ship, the wind changed and the pirate ships were blown off course. So he was able to go and preach the gospel to this island that had not seen a priest in many dozens and dozens of years. So during this short span of 16 years that de Montfort was a priest, he established three religious communities: the Company of Mary, known as the Montfort Fathers, the Daughters of Wisdom, and the Brothers of St. Gabriel. The first Daughter of Wisdom was Marie Louise, a woman who remained his sole nun for 10 years before other sisters joined her. She is beatified now, Blessed Marie Louise. St. Louis de Montfort had many attacks on his life. On one occasion, 12 men tried to beat him to death, and yet he was able to fight off these 12 men. De Montfort was a very strong, imposing figure, very tall man, he had superhuman strength, and he was able to fight off these assassins. But 2 years before his death, though, St. Louis de Montfort was given a bowl of soup at one of his monasteries that he visited, and this soup contained poison. He only tasted a little bit of it, but it was enough to ingest the poison, and even though it did not kill him, it brought about a very slow and painful death. He lived 2 more years after he had been given this poison, and he died at the age of 43, only a priest for 16 years. He was beatified in 1888 and canonized in 1947. And we're hoping that he someday will be declared a doctor of the church because of his tremendous writings about Jesus and the Blessed Mother. So consider now the spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort. During his time of being a priest, he wrote 5 major works, as well as 24,000 verses of poetry. His major works are The Secret of the Rosary, The Friends of the Cross, The Secret of Mary, The Love of Eternal Wisdom, and The True Devotion. The True Devotion's original name was the preparation for the reign of Jesus Christ. The True Devotion actually is the nickname for the book. The spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort has influenced some of the most important theologians and saints and holy people of the last few centuries. For example, his spirituality influenced St. Thérèse, the little flower. Even though she does not mention his writings by name, the spiritual childhood, this trust in God, is a common theme that was taught by Louis de Montfort. And when his spirituality was being promoted in the last part of the 19th century, St. Thérèse would have been influenced by his spirituality. St. Maximilian Kolbe is another one who was greatly influenced by the spirituality of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, as well as Pope John Paul II, who said that he had to read and reread the writings of St. Louis de Montfort many times in order to understand it. In fact, Pope John Paul II took de Montfort's spirituality as his papal motto, Totus Tuus. Also, Mother Teresa is somebody who lived the spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort in a heroic way. Matt Talbot, Venerable Matt Talbot, an alcoholic in Ireland who was converted through the reading of St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion, is another more recent saint who practiced this spirituality, as well as Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, Edel Quinn, and many of the popes in the last century read, lived, and studied the spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort. Pope Pius IX, Pope Pius X, Leo XIII, Benedict XV, Pius XI, and Pius XII all read, studied, and lived the spirituality of the true devotion to Our Lady. So what exactly is this spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort? It is a spirituality which is Christ-centered. This spirituality, de Montfort predicted, would be so powerful in leading people to Jesus that Satan would try to keep it hidden or to even destroy the book, The True Devotion. After de Montfort's death in the year 1716, this book, his only manuscript, had not been published, and yet it was hidden in a chest of old books for safekeeping during the times of the persecution in France. And that book was not discovered for 126 years. It was eventually discovered in a chest of old books in the year 1842, 126 years after de Montfort's death. See, de Montfort predicted that this book would be so powerful in converting souls and deepening their spirituality that de Montfort predicted that Satan himself would try to tear apart this book, or at least to keep it hidden. When the book was finally discovered, the first 80 pages had been ripped off. We still do not have the first 80 pages of this book. And yet this book, this spirituality, has been influential in converting many, many souls and deepening the spiritual life of so many tens of thousands of people during these last few centuries. The Montfort spirituality is a Christ-centered Marian spirituality. In this book, de Montfort talks about the place of the Blessed Mother in God's plan, how she was chosen to be the new Eve. She was chosen to be the living Ark of the Covenant. She was chosen to be the Mother of God. And de Montfort talks about how Our Lady is Mother, Mediatrix, and Queen. She is the Mother of God and the Mother of each one of us. She is the Mediatrix of grace, as is shown in the Visitation when she carries the Christ child to Elizabeth, and the presence of Our Lady bringing Jesus as the Mediatrix sanctified John the Baptist in the womb. Our Lady is seen as Mediatrix in showing the Christ child to the shepherds and to the wise men, and is seen as the intercessor and Mediatrix at the wedding feast of Cana. Then at the foot of the cross, she is given to us as our own spiritual mother. So Our Lady is Mother, Mediatrix, and also Queen. Because her divine Son, Jesus, is King of the universe, she herself is the Queen of heaven and earth. And so de Montfort teaches us the importance of the Blessed Mother in God's plan of salvation. De Montfort's spirituality is one of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It is one in which we go to Jesus, but through and with the prayers of our Blessed Mother. De Montfort says that the purpose of life is to become like Jesus Christ. And what better way to have the image and likeness of Christ formed within us than to entrust ourselves to our Blessed Mother and to the Holy Spirit, and to allow Our Lady and the Holy Spirit to form and fashion and give birth to the image of Christ within us. So just as Jesus was formed in the womb of the Blessed Mother by the working of the Holy Spirit, so de Montfort says, if we want to become like Christ, we need to give ourselves totally to the Blessed Mother in an act of total consecration, and then allow her and the Holy Spirit to form us in the image of Christ, as our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit formed Christ 2,000 years ago. So de Montfort's spirituality is one in which we see Our Lady as the mold of God, who will then mold us into the image and likeness of her divine Son. This spirituality is one of imitation of Jesus Christ. What did Christ do? God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. Where did the Son of God go? He went into the womb of the Blessed Mother. He made Himself totally dependent upon our Blessed Mother. And Jesus says, if you wish to be a follower of mine, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow in my footsteps. Where did the footsteps of Jesus go? Into the womb of the Blessed Mother. And so Jesus Himself made Himself totally dependent upon the Blessed Mother for 9 months in His womb and for 30 years at Nazareth. And so if we're to be true disciples of Jesus, we too are called to place ourselves in total dependence upon the Blessed Mother, to make this act of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. This act of consecration consists, first of all, of a 33-day preparation in which the Montfort gives us readings and prayers in which we can prepare to make the act of consecration. He says we should spend the first 12 days in trying to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world, and then spend the next 7 days growing in knowledge of self. And then the week after that, try to grow in knowledge of the Blessed Mother. And the last week, try to grow in knowledge of Christ. And at the end of the 33-day preparation, we pick a feast day of the Blessed Mother, and we make a formal act of consecration to Jesus through Mary. We handwrite the consecration, and after Mass, after we receive communion, we give ourselves totally to Jesus through the Blessed Mother. What we give in this consecration is everything, all of our material and spiritual goods, namely our house, our car, our possessions, our bank accounts, our money. We give our family life. We give our past, our present, our future. We give all of our spiritual goods as well, namely our prayers, our works, our joys and sufferings. It's like a lifetime morning offering when we give everything to Jesus through the Blessed Mother. We give even the value of all of our good actions. We give our merit, our prayers, our indulgences, everything is given to the Blessed Mother for her to distribute. This means that from now on, we become what's called a slave of the Blessed Mother. We try to live what's called the holy slavery of love, where everything belongs to the Blessed Mother. If our car breaks down, well, it's the Blessed Mother's car. If we run out of money, well, it's the Blessed Mother's money. Which means that before we buy anything, we say, Blessed Mother, this is your money. Do you want me to spend it for this particular purpose? Whenever we say a prayer for a person, we now know that it's going to be up to the Blessed Mother to distribute these particular prayers to those who she sees fit. We can continue to pray for special intentions, like the Holy Father, like the souls in purgatory, like friends and relatives, but after we make the consecration, it's always then subject to Our Lady's good pleasure. You might be praying for somebody that you think's in purgatory, but that person might be in heaven. So the Blessed Mother would then apply those prayers to somebody who is more in need. So the Blessed Mother will then take our prayers, our merits, the graces that we would acquire, and then distribute them as she sees fit to the souls who need it the most. So after we make this consecration, we then try to live the spirit of this consecration. In other words, live in union with the Blessed Mother, which means to speak with Mary's words, to love with Mary's heart, to think with Mary's mind, to act as the Blessed Mother would have us act. This means to imitate her virtues, her faith, her hope, her charity, all her virtues of humility, patience, and love. To live this consecration means that from now on, we try to do everything as our Blessed Mother would, to wash the dishes as the Blessed Mother would, to vacuum the house as the Blessed Mother would, to receive communion as Our Lady would receive her Divine Son, to attend Mass as Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross with those same interior dispositions and same love for Christ, to make the Stations of the Cross as the Blessed Mother made the first Stations of the Cross, the Via Dolorosa. In other words, we give ourselves in an act of consecration, but then we try to live this consecration, to do everything in, with, through, and for Mary, so we can do everything in, with, through, and for Christ. De Montfort says that this consecration is a holy slavery of love. And he even recommends wearing a little chain, a chain around your wrist as a bracelet, a chain around your neck, to remind yourself that you belong now totally to Jesus through Mary, to Jesus in Mary. He also says that this consecration is the perfect renewal of your baptismal vows and promises. When you make this consecration, you are renewing the vows that your parents and godparents made for you when you were a little baby. See, as a child, you did not, on your own, accept Jesus and reject Satan and accept to carry the cross. But when you make the consecration, De Montfort says, you then renew your baptismal vows perfectly. You then give yourself to Jesus Christ, you reject Satan, and desire to carry the cross all the days of your life. Once you make this consecration, we then are called to live a life of total dependency upon Jesus and the Blessed Mother, to have complete trust. And one of the hallmarks of the consecration is that after you make the consecration, you're not allowed to worry about anything. Did you know that? You're forbidden to worry, because everything is safe with Jesus and Mary. You can pray about things, but you can't worry about them, because everything belongs to Jesus and Mary. Your house, your finances, your job, your children, everything belongs to them. So it really is the trustful surrender to divine providence that De Caussade talked about. It's living total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now lastly, how do we apply this spirituality of De Montfort to the family? I want to give you 10 brief recommendations. I'm only going to spend about 30 seconds or 40 seconds on each of these, but I encourage you to write these down and to apply these to your family. Number one is celebrate the baptismal days of your children. When I was growing up, in fact, at my very baptism and my sister's baptism, my parents consecrated us to the Blessed Mother. I would encourage you to consecrate your children to the Blessed Mother, to consecrate your grandchildren to the Blessed Mother, perhaps even on the day of their baptism. After the priest baptizes them, ask him, Father, will you say a special prayer and dedicate and consecrate my child or grandchild to the Blessed Mother? I guarantee it, if you do that, the Blessed Mother will always take care of those children. I encourage you to celebrate the child's baptismal day. This means that besides giving them presents on their birthday, give them a religious present on the day of their baptism. Every year, celebrate their baptismal day. Second, make sure you have a beautiful image of the Blessed Mother in your home. This could be a beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother. It could be a beautiful painting of the Blessed Mother. See, Louis de Montfort loved the Blessed Mother so much that even on his deathbed, he held a crucifix and a little statue of the Blessed Mother. And so we as Catholic homes and Catholic families should have a tender and true devotion to the Blessed Mother. And your children and grandchildren should see a beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother, maybe in the front yard, or maybe in your living room, or maybe a beautiful image or picture, icon perhaps, of the Blessed Mother. Third, have a crucifix in your house, perhaps even in all the major rooms of your house, like each of the bedrooms and the living room. St. Louis de Montfort loved the crucifix. He said we could learn more by looking at the crucifix and meditating upon the crucifix than reading any other book. So every Catholic family, every Catholic home should have a crucifix. Every one of your children and grandchildren's room should have a crucifix to show the love that God has for us, the incredible love that Jesus showed us by dying on the cross. Fourth, have the Sacred Heart enthroned in your home. I'm sure many of you have already had the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. See, Louis de Montfort was very committed to establishing the reign of Christ. In fact, that's why he wrote The True Devotion. The True Devotion is actually an expansion of the last four chapters of the Love of Eternal Wisdom. See, in the Love of Eternal Wisdom, the Mumford says there are four ways to obtain union with Christ, to bring about the reign of Jesus Christ. The first one is ardent desire. You have to desire to be one with Jesus. Secondly, we have to pray constantly for union with Christ. Third, we have to practice self-discipline and mortification. And fourth, he says, practice true devotion to the Blessed Mother. And so then in his book, The True Devotion, he outlines what it means to practice the true devotion. But the actual title of The True Devotion is to establish the reign of Jesus Christ. We can establish the reign of Jesus Christ in every one of our homes by dedicating it and consecrating it to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, by the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. I encourage you to pick a feast day, like the Feast Day of the Holy Family, the Feast Day of Christ the King, the Feast Day of the Sacred Heart, or Corpus Christi, and then enthrone a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart in your home. Number five, have a great love for the rosary in your family. If possible, say the family rosary each day. Father Patrick Peyton said, the family that prays together stays together. He also promised that where the rosary is said, there will be peace in that home and that family. If your children are young and you can't say the whole rosary with them, at least say a decade. A decade a day keeps the devil away. Isn't that a great expression? I once saw a Catholic t-shirt that said, pray the rosary, talk to your Blessed Mother, call home, she hasn't heard from you in decades. Isn't that a great t-shirt? We should at least say a decade of the rosary each day. If you live by yourself, then say the rosary each and every day. If you live with your spouse or with your children or grandchildren, try to get them to say the rosary as well. Number six, have a great love for the sacramentals of the church. St. Louis de Montfort says that every Catholic should wear a sacramental, whether it be the brown scapular or a religious badge of the Sacred Heart or something. I'm sure that if the miraculous medal had been given by that time, it wasn't given until 1830, about 100 years after his death, he would have encouraged us to wear the miraculous medal. The Montfort was very encouraging to wear the sacramentals of the church, especially the brown scapular. So I encourage every one of you to get yourself a brown scapular, to be officially enrolled in the brown scapular, and also to wear the miraculous medal, and to be enrolled by a priest in the confraternity of the miraculous medal. Number seven, read the True Devotion. Read that book that has so changed so many of the holy people of this latter time, like Mother Teresa, John Paul II, Frank Duffy, Dal Quinn, Alfie Lamb, and so many others, Matt Talbot. Read the True Devotion. One recommendation is read just a page a day. Because any more than a page a day, you might miss some of the deep spirituality. Just read and meditate upon a page a day, as Frank Duff tells us. Number eight, make the consecration and try to live the consecration. Pick a feast day, the feast day of the Immaculate Conception, the feast day of Our Lady's Nativity, pick January 1st, pick August 15th. Pick a feast day and then prepare for 33 days ahead of time and then make the consecration. Pick a day and give yourself away, as we've often heard. And then try to live that consecration, which means that try to imitate the virtues of our Blessed Mother and try to live in your Catholic home, in your family, the consecration, which means only watch things on TV that the Blessed Mother would watch or would approve of. Only speak the language that the Blessed Mother would use. Like, make sure that in your home, God's name is never taken in vain. Make sure that you always do whatever the Blessed Mother would want you to do. You've probably seen those bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But when we make the consecration, we're called to wear a spiritual bracelet that says WWMD, what would Mary do? Because if we always do what Mary would do, then obviously we would only do what Christ would do. Number nine, read the life of St. Louis de Montfort. One recommendation is a book called Wisdom's Fool by Eddie Doherty, a powerful book that describes his life and spirituality. If you have children or grandchildren, get them a copy of the book on Louis de Montfort written by Mary Fabian Windeatt. It's published by CAM. It's a beautiful children's book on the life of St. Louis de Montfort. And if your children are young, read them a few pages or a chapter each night and have them learn the life of this great saint. And lastly, number 10, I encourage you to look into the organization called the Legion of Mary. Some of you probably already belong, but if you don't, in my opinion, there is no better way to live the spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort than in the Legion of Mary. Because St. Louis de Montfort is called the tutor or the teacher of the Legion of Mary. He even prophesied way back in the year 1710 that there would one day come about a great legion of both men and women that would help to fight the world, the flesh, and corrupted nature in the more than ever perilous time that is to come. My own parents met in the Legion of Mary. On their honeymoon, they went to Dublin and spent 4 weeks with Frank Duff, the founder, and they went on to Lourdes to spend time to dedicate and consecrate their marriage to the Blessed Mother. But the Legion of Mary brought my parents together, and I've been in the Legion for 25 years, since I was a little 10-year-old growing up in Norristown, Pennsylvania. And I encourage you to look into this spirituality of the Legion of Mary, because it's living the true devotion each and every day. It enables us to go out to work for souls, to bring souls into the church, and to help establish the reign of Jesus Christ. If you could, try to become an active member and do the apostolic work that is so important, the home-to-home visitation, the visiting of hospitals and prisons and nursing homes. It truly is a way to live out your consecration to Jesus through Mary. Or at least become an auxiliary member of the Legion, a praying member who says the rosary every day and who prays the beautiful prayer card called the Tessera. You'll be united to close to 20 million auxiliary members throughout the world. And Louis de Montfort says that if we join the confraternity of the rosary, or I believe if we become an auxiliary member of the Legion, when we say the rosary, we share in all the graces and prayers and rosaries that are said by every other auxiliary member of the Legion. For example, if you prayed the rosary in a group of 25 people, you would get the graces and blessings of 25 rosaries. Imagine joining an organization that has 20 million praying members. When you say your rosary, united to their 20 million rosaries, you get the grace of all those rosaries and the prayers of each of the other members of the Legion. So I encourage you to study the life of de Montfort, read a biography about him, study his spirituality, read the True Devotion, and then become active in some organization, the Knights of the Immaculata, the Blue Army, the Legion of Mary, something that promotes this total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Because it is a consecration that has produced such wonderful fruit, and we see this in the life of Mother Teresa and our own Pope John Paul II. God bless you.